Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Again, welcome back and welcome to the show. I've got something I want to talk with you about, and that is I've gotten this question a lot lately, and I know it's on many people's minds, especially as we are watching interest rates change, the yield hovering around 3% for 10-year treasuries, at least at the taping of the show, that certainly can change. So the question I've gotten both from listeners as well as readers of my column that I write weekly is what do I do if I need to invest safely? And the concern, especially for people coming out of CDs, a lot of people are coming out of these five-year CDs, they locked in. The days are dwindling of people who still have CDs that earn over 4%. It's simply going away. And all of those, they're maturing. And then the renewal rate, it's not that exciting. It's still very, very low. So what do you do? And that's the question I get a lot. And so what do you do? Well, here's what I have to be very candid and blunt. And I recently wrote about this in my column, answering a reader question. And so I will give it to you very succinctly. The choices, if you say to me, David, I want to invest, I want to put my money in something, I'm coming out of a CD or I'm coming out of something, and I simply cannot put the money at risk, I have to minimize my risk, and I do not want to take any chances. You need to know something. Your choices are very limited. They're straightforward, but they're limited. And depending on how old you are, they can be even more limited, and I'll get to that. So here's the skinny. Here are your options if you want to have very, very little risk. And I like to say no risk or be completely risk-free, but I know my compliance department will have a field day with that. But what I need to say within the realm of having financial assets, if you have financial assets, they're in the financial system and you cannot completely eliminate financial risk from the financial system. How's that? So here are your choices. Cash under your mattress, cash in your wallet, cash in a safety deposit box, cash in your safe. Those are all safe, right? I mean, because it's not at risk in the market or something. But somebody could steal your wallet. Somebody could break into your house. Somebody could do whatever, you know, steal your mattress, leave you a note. Okay, I took your mattress. So these are those are some of the obvious things. And none of that's going to make anything because it's not working. It's not making money. Well, I didn't lose anything. Okay, that's true. All right. But there's obvious risks associated, you understand, from theft and things like that. Now, and of course, inflation risk. The money's going to be worth less in a year than it is right now. Okay, so but in terms of actually putting your money to work, what else? Okay, well, hey, let's look at the obvious. Money market, savings accounts, checking accounts, CDs, online banks, all those things are options. There's nothing wrong with that. That is safe, you know, FDIC insured at the bank. That's pretty safe. Okay, now if our entire financial system collapses, no, not safe, but you know, come on, let's live in the real world. So that's where we are. What else do you have? Well, there where the choices get small and limited. Real estate investment trust? No, they fluctuate in value. Bonds? Nope, they fluctuate in values. What if I hold the bond at maturity? Will I get my money back? Yes, but only if the issuing company is there to pay the money. What about the treasuries, the 10-year treasuries we talk about? Yeah, that's pretty close to secure. The value is going to fluctuate between now and when you get to full maturity, which might be 5-10 years, depending on how long of a treasury you buy, but you get back what the maturity value, but the governmental entity needs to be there. Now, if our U.S. government's not there to pay you back, then of course we have a lot larger problems. And some people do worry about that. I think that's a very, very low risk, but it's still there. From the insurance industry, you've got some annuities that are safe. Again, backed by the claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Each state has a guarantee insurance association that backs up the policies issued by insurance companies to people in their state. And depending on the state, the limits are usually $250,000 per policy, like an annuity. So that's fairly safe. Again, the association could go under. There could be not enough money to pay all the claims. The insurance companies can go under. But again, if you're working with a very large, very well-rated, very strong company, the chances are pretty slim. But where you need to be focused is on the type of annuity. It needs to be a fixed annuity, not a variable annuity, if you're looking for true safety, because variable annuities are securities, and they're securities because they can go down in value. That's part of the definition of a security. So caution, okay? And just because an annuity has the ability to pay you out an income for the rest of your life, which is a very nice feature if it's appropriate for a person's situation, does not make it a protected or safe annuity. A variable annuity with an income guarantee, for example, which is one of the things that's available now, it's still a security, it's still at risk, and you can still lose money. So if the market falls 30%, your annuity is going to go down in 30% or something like that if you're a variable annuity, even if you're getting an income. That means there'd be less left over if you need to go get the rest of it, or if you would leave it to your heirs. So fixed annuities are the safer version, either a fixed rate or an index, where it's linked to an index for market returns, and you get part of those returns. So I've had that question come up, and I wanted to answer it again because I know it's on a lot of people's minds. You don't put money in the stock market, for example, with things that happen with potential Middle East conflict or oil going up. All those things can drag on the market, can cause the market to go down. Now, the market has come back up. Every single time it's gone down, but it may not come back up on your timetable. So these are the things to be mindful of and careful about when you think about where you're going to put your money. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back. Stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Our guest today is Scott Hallowell. He is a certified financial planner, and he is with USAA. He's a wealth manager with them. He's got 18 years experience in the financial industry. He is also a chartered financial consultant, chartered life underwriter, certified wealth strategist. That's a new one for me. I'm going to have to look into that one. He's got a bachelor's degree in accounting from Penn State. So very similar background. Scott, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And my listeners recognize a lot of that background and credentials because you and I have done kind of a similar track. So you're with USAA. And so just for our listeners that aren't familiar with USAA, give a little rundown about who they are, what they do, and then we'll get into our topic today.
Sure. So USAA is a financial services company based here in San Antonio, Texas, that is all about facilitating financial security for members of the military. As a matter of fact, every meeting we had an employee meeting yesterday. Every one of those meetings starts off with the mission statement, and that is, you know, to facilitate the financial security of our members, and the hope there is to become the provider of choice for the military community. So it's a great company that kind of spans the gamut of all the different resources and services that are out there. It was started by military officers back in 1922, so that's where the military focus comes from.
Okay.
And frankly, to this point, we're now up to, I think, almost our 10 millionth member at this point.
Wow. Well, fantastic. Well, that's just one more tribute to our military and giving them the proper respect and service and thank you for their dedication and service to our country. Scott, let's do this. Let's focus in on one particular topic that I know is very important. And September is Life Insurance Month, National Life Insurance Month. And so I know that you and I talked about kind of focusing on this, and we can talk about other topics maybe for another show. And I want to start with a couple basic questions, and you can help us with this. Why should life insurance not just be viewed as something you have maybe during your working years, but also as something you have as maybe quote-unquote retirement insurance?
Yeah, so I think the whole retirement insurance concept, a lot of it for a lot of people these days, if you look at the statistics that are out there, a lot of people don't have enough retirement money set aside, right? I think I saw last year that one of the surveys that was put out that the, you know, families had less than $25,000 saved for retirement. And so the challenge that that creates is if you don't have money set aside and you pass away, what's your spouse going to live on? How are they going to be able to get through and how are they going to be able to keep going?
That's the key, Scott. That's not a rhetorical question. This isn't something we just, we pontificate about. This is something that folks really need to think about. And I've seen it firsthand with my own clients of the big difference that the life insurance makes when your situation you just described happens, where people don't have those resources. Now, there are some situations where people may not need life insurance at some point, and they can look at, redirecting those dollars maybe toward long-term care or maybe taking the money that's in the policy and doing something else with it. But for a lot of people, they need to continue it on into retirement.
Right. And the other side of that, too, is I've had many folks, and you probably had the same, that they get further up in years and say, hey, I've been paying for this policy now for 30 years. I don't really need it anymore. Do I get rid of it?
Exactly.
And my answer to that is, well, it's not about what you paid into it all these years. It's about what are you going to pay for it for the rest of your life? And when you look at what that premium expense will be for the rest of your life and compare that against the potential death benefit that the policy has, in many cases, you're going to be hard-pressed to find an investment that's going to return that type of, of annual return for you. So the point is, you need to look at the numbers, you need to figure it out, but a lot of folks will say, I don't need it anymore just because I'm older. But to me, I say, hey, that might be true, you don't need it, but you might want to keep it because it could actually turn out to be a decent financial instrument for your family.
Couldn't agree more, Scott, it's a very individualized decision, and you need to get somebody to sit down with you if you don't have somebody, sit down and really walk through the math, because it is math. And so, how about this, Scott? Because this is something that a lot of our listeners will say, well, okay, I get that. That makes sense, what you guys are talking about. But what's the best way to find affordable life insurance coverage? Do they go on the internet? Do they sit down with an insurance agent? Do they sit down with a financial planner? All of the above, depending on their needs? What would you recommend?
Well, I'm probably more of the all of the above thought process that you mentioned. And I think for most people, it starts with getting a basic education of the types of insurances that are out there. Because, you and I are in this business, we understand how these things work, but as you know, the average person on the street, they get all these terms thrown at them, and this works this way, and that works that way. It can really easily overwhelm people to the point where they're not exactly sure what they should be buying and whether or not it's a good idea.
Yeah, their eyes look like glazed donuts.
Exactly, right? And so I'm a big proponent of, first, go get some education. Go to the internet. It's a beautiful thing. It has all sorts of resources. USAA is one website. We've got tons of information on our site for the different types of insurances and different advice articles and ideas for what you might do or not do. But we're not the only one. That's the beauty of this industry. It's a huge industry. There's lots of information out there. So I think it starts there. I think you start with get that education. Then I think you take that education to whatever your provider of choice is. If you've got a local person that you know and you like and you have a relationship or your family does, that can be a great avenue. If you don't, companies that you've worked with before, maybe your property and casualty insurance company or companies like USAA. There's all sorts of options, and I think that's the most important part. The most important part is people need to realize that if you just even slightly raise your hand and say, I'm interested in insurance, you'll have a lot of people willing to help you.
Yeah, that's the easy part, Scott, and it is a big industry. There's something, last count, $19 trillion of life insurance in force in the United States. It's a big business, and we need those big companies to be there for a long time. How about this? Is there a particular stage in life when someone should consider life insurance, in your opinion?
Well, yeah. So to me, I think that it's all about the different life events that take place. And so, some easy ones are, if you have a child or if you get married. You buy a home, so now you've got mortgage responsibilities you have to pay. Your job changes, and you have different benefits available. So there are those triggering events, I think, that are often, good opportunities to kind of step back and say, what do I do with my insurance, or do I need to do something different? But other than those triggering events, I tell people, and this, sometimes lands on folks correctly, and sometimes they're not quite sure what I mean, but I tell people it's never too early to start at least thinking about it. I'm a big believer that because life insurance is medically underwritten, meaning you have to go through this underwriting process, they have to, do a background history and all that stuff on your health, that there are things that can go wrong in your life from a health perspective that can cause you not to be able to get life insurance.
You're exactly right.
So, looking at it earlier is not a bad idea in a lot of cases because you can get it cheaper and you're more likely to get it because your health is probably
cheaper. Yeah, and here's an easy answer to that also, Scott, is that our listeners, if they're saying, okay, well, I don't know if I want it yet, but here's the deal. You know how healthy you are today. You don't know how healthy you'll be 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years from now.
Exactly. You know, my wife was actually, personal story, my wife was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when she was 35 years old. And, you know, I mean, I've been in this industry for 20 years now. And, you know, I had at the time switched employers and applied for additional group term life insurance for her through my employer. And there was a quick little medical underwriting form you had to fill out. And she was denied the coverage. And I ended up talking to the underwriter and said, why? I mean, it's rheumatoid arthritis. It's a debilitating ailment. It's not something that's likely to cause you to die. And his answer was, well, if you look at the mortality tables for that ailment versus, you know, as someone who doesn't have it, there's a higher likelihood. And so that's the kind of thing that, you know, you just never think about. Like, I would have never in a million years thought my wife at 35 years old would not be able to buy life insurance. You know, I mean, it was a, you know, kind of one of those eye-opening experiences, even for me, having been in the business for so long. So that's really sort of impassioned me to say, hey, look at it sooner than later if you can, because A, the premiums aren't that expensive if you buy it sooner, and B, like you said, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, and there's such a strong need for it in many situations, and people sometimes, you know, they'll put it off, they don't want to do it, it's expensive, we know all the reasons, you know, listen, nobody wants to spend money on something that they don't really, and people, of course, hate talking about, you know, life insurance because of, you know, hey, you're talking about my mortality, I'm not going to be here, and I don't want to talk about that. But, you know, just about a minute left here, Scott, what do you think that the reason is for such a big decline that we've seen in people having life insurance, at least for Americans?
Honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with what's gone on in the economy. People have struggled financially. And if you think about day-to-day, all the challenges that people have with, you know, paying the bills and keeping the lights on and all those things, you know, life insurance, to your point, is not something that's exciting to spend money on. And so a lot of people make the decision, hey, that's not exciting in the first place. And second place, I don't have a lot of money, therefore I'm not going to buy it. Obviously, as you can imagine, I don't think that's a good thought process. But
yeah,
I think that has a lot of to do with why the coverage or the insurance that people have has gotten to such lows.
Very good. Well, Scott Holloway has been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. He's a wealth manager with USAA. And go to their website, USAA, and you can get some more good information. They've got videos and a lot of great stuff. Scott, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you, David. It was my pleasure.
All right. Thank you. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Well, yes, I do have a warning for you. And I need to hit on this kind of couple final thoughts about interest rates and bond yields going up and all of these things. One of the things that sometimes is very confusing is the Federal Reserve has a huge impact on our economy, obviously. And one of the things that people have been asking me about is, well, when will, okay, if interest rates are going up, then when are the CD rates going to go back up? Well, they may not go up right away. So you say, well, wait a minute now, if the Federal Reserve stops buying bonds, I've heard everybody say that means that interest rates, the yield on 10-year treasuries will go up, then that means CDs will go up, right? No, those are two separate things. Let's do real quick. The buying of bonds by the Federal Reserve to suppress 10-year treasury yields is to cause the stimulation of our economy. When they stop doing that, and let's say that the yield on 10-year treasuries, and of course on other debt, because it follows the 10-year treasuries, when that starts to go up, let's say it goes, the 10-year treasuries go from 3% up to 5% or 6%, and that means a corporate bond might be paying, have a yield of 8%. That doesn't have anything to do, or very little to do, with CD rates. CD rates are a reflection of what a bank is willing to pay you to borrow the money from you to lend it to somebody else. And that's a reflection of the federal fund rate, which is what banks lend each other money at, which is right now at the timing of the taping of this show, 0.25%. Prime rate is usually 3% over the federal fund rate. So if they're lending at 3.25%, they're going to pay you something a lot less, maybe a 2% spread. That's why the 5-year CD rate is about 1.25%. So they're working off a spread. Banks and insurance companies will all work off of a spread. So until the Federal Reserve is finished with the taper, has finished buying bonds, and stops buying bonds completely, and the economy can handle that, then in order to slow the economy and push down inflation, they will then start to raise that federal fund rate, which will cause prime rates to go up. Then CD rates will go up because the banks will be in a better position to pay you more to borrow money from you to lend to somebody else. And that's your warning. Thanks for being with us.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.